Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was awesome because we were speaking and, you know, the Lord was just continuously putting in my mouth, straight past to Elvie. And I was just holding on. I said, is this from the Lord or is this from me? And I just held on for a while and then I couldn't hold it no more because when the Lord wants to speak, we have to allow him to speak. Amen. And he just said, straight to him, Pastor Elvie. And we prayed, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he knew it was from the Lord. Hallelujah. What I want to do today, more than anything else, I want to pray with everyone. And I want to take us through a process. And many needs healing. Many needs a greater and closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is holy, and we got to be holy. And we have to continue forgiving others who have come against us. And in the beginning of this, firstly, what I want to do is pray for the ministry and each of you all who attach. I want to take the prayer into your homes, and you're going to feel in your homes, you're going to feel a clearance. Where you're being disturbed by any spirit that's not of God, you're going to feel a clearance right away. And you have to open your heart to believe. You have to trust the Lord that he's going to do something. You're going to feel the glory of the Lord upon you. You're going to feel things happening that never happened before. I guarantee you that the Lord has ordained this even before the foundation of the world, that each one of us, as we come in communion today before the Lord, he is going to administer to your heart today. He's going to touch you in a way that most of you may be accustomed with, but he's going to bring you into a higher level. So the first thing we're going to do is pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Lord and my God, Lord, I thank you for Pastor Elvie and his family and for the ministry that you have given him. Lord, you have given him something to do and he is obeying and you love his obedience. Because of that, your relationship with him has grown so close, O God, that he is in your presence most of the time during the day. He is in season, out of season in your presence. And Lord, we want that for each and every one of us, O God. So I'm asking, Lord, that right now, that ministry that you have given him, that it be expanded to the point that we'll have millions of souls being saved, healed through this ministry. As they understand the reason for the ministry. But Lord God Almighty, I pray blessing upon the lives of each and every one. I come against the powers of evil right now in the name of Jesus. That's coming against this ministry and the lives of those who have been called, O God. Lord God, each and everyone out there who can hear your voice through me, you're going to speak to them today, and you're going to do something special for each and every one. So right now, Lord, I want you, Lord, you alone can do this because we trust and we have full faith, and you have never disappointed us yet. So I'm asking you, Lord, to take total control of everything from this moment on. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask each and every one of us to go through a little process here. It's very simple. I'm going to ask if you have any unforgiveness in your heart against anyone, I'm going to ask you to forgive them. And it's a process. It's very simple. If you think of an apple or you think of a boat in the ocean, you will see that. Whatever you think of, you can see. As a result, if you have someone or many persons, just think of the person and see their face. And you forgive them in that realm. And you'll understand this is biblically correct. As I will quote the scripture for you, which this pertains to. So if you think of that person, you forgive them. Some of you are already starting to feel your stomach moving. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you, even by this word. As you start to forgive and your hearts become clear before God, God cannot work in your life if your heart is not totally right before him. He can only work to the level if you allow him to by forgiving. Remember Matthew 6:14 and 15 says, if you forgive men of their transgressions, your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you do not, he will not. In the Lord's Prayer also, he spoke about in the 12th verse, in Matthew 6 and 12, we say, and forgive us our debt. We, when we're speaking, we say, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. That word as there is a pivotal point in saying that we are making a deal with God at that time and say, forgive only at the same level that we have forgiven. So he wants us to forgive. It is very important because he cannot go against his word. His word says, if you do not forgive, he will not forgive. At that level you forgive, I am going to forgive. So we have to forgive. Many people have walked up to the altars a lot of times and they ask God to forgive them. And they haven't received the Holy Spirit of God. And they wonder why, and they start working on their own strength. But we have to work not by our strength, but the Holy Spirit has to indwell us. And we have to let the Spirit of God lead us. Because only if we do not have the Spirit of God in us, we are not Christ. Romans 8 and 9 tell you that. So if you've done that, then the next step is very simply. You ask the Lord, Jesus Christ, to help you forgive that person completely and totally. And then you will feel a warmth in your heart. You will actually feel lighter. Something will be lifted off you. It's a burden that we are carrying around. And he wants that lifted off. He says, come to me, those who are burdened, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke. My yoke is light. It's easy. He wants us to be yoked to him. And the only way we can be yoked to him if we have something in common with him. And that is our hearts being clear and clean. He is sinless. And we have to get as close as possible to being sinless. And when we say the repentance prayer and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our life and the blood of Jesus cleanses, then we are there, close to him. Then we have that yoke that we can put on our shoulder and yoke ourselves to him. That's why he said, do not yoke yourself to the world. Do not get unevenly yoked. So if you feel right now that you have done that, you're forgiven, and you feel a little difference right now, I know some of you are already feeling it because I know the anointing when I feel it. So I want you to repeat after me and mean it from your heart and repeat it audibly because it's important that we confess before the Lord. And I want you to mean it with all your heart, even though you said this prayer 1,000 times in different ways. This time I want you to say it and mean it with all your heart. What is going to happen when you say that there's a fresh anointing going to fall upon your life and a new and fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit will happen. But you've got to mean it with all your heart. This is the prayer of salvation. I have prayed this for many people, and the Spirit of God indwelled them. A lot of people got slain. A lot of things happened. But the Lord will do whatever he has to do. So just repeat after me and mean it with all your heart. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgive me for all of my sins. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was too quick on that, I was saved back again. Just for everybody to get this right. This is the prayer that the Lord gave me, exactly the words, and you will know that you are touched. One more time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgive me for all of my sins. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you are going to feel much lighter. Many of you will feel movements all over your body. It's the Spirit of God doing something. What I'm going to do right now is that we're going to call down for an open heaven and for the glory of God to fall on each of us wherever we are. I'm going to pray that where you are, that the air will be cleared, you and your homes. I'm going to pray that the atmosphere in your homes be changed and the glory of God's presence will be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. So, Father, we thank you and we give you praise and glory and honor. You're an awesome God. You have never disappointed us. And Lord God, what I'm asking, oh God, I'm asking that you remove every unclean spirit that's in any houses, any places that we live now, oh God. I ask that you remove it and let the Spirit of God take total control and abide there, oh God. Lord, you will dispatch angels to these people's homes, oh God. You remove every unclean spirit from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, from the top to the bottom. And let that atmosphere, let the Holy Spirit of God take total control right now in their homes, oh God. Right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Lord God Almighty, we're going to pray for healing right now. I have a special prayer for Latasha. And when this prayer comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to close your eyes. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear next to you, and he's going to stand there, and he's going to put his hands around you. And he will do this for anyone who is going through problems right now and pain. You will feel the hand of God over you. But for Latasha, he has been saying this, that he's going to come there, and he's going to actually put his hand around you and hug you. So just receive by faith this is going to happen right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, remove everything that's not of God and fill us with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Remove every sickness, every pain from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet in the name of Jesus. Lord, as I send the word and heal them and deliver them from their destruction in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, I ask right now that you send our Lord Jesus Christ to touch your people. Lord, put your hand around Latasha and whoever, Lord, you want to lay your hands on right now. And Lord God Almighty, give her a hug. I feel her heart, oh God. She's hurting. And you've got to put your hand around those who are hurting right now, oh God. You have to touch them. You have to let them feel your presence and let them get your joy and your peace, the peace that you alone can give, oh God. Not that the world gives the peace that you alone can give, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Let the Spirit of God administer to them. Let the healing take place. Every healing, back pains are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God Almighty, you're going to feel a heat, a warmth going through your back, and you'll be healed. Test it, and you'll see that you're healed. You're healed. Bone injuries are being healed now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, as we send the word and heal them and deliver them from the destruction. Lord, take away what the enemy has set there. You're going to take away tonight because you are God that healeth thee. You said you have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You are God that changeth not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Continue to heal them. Heal them, Lord. Heal cancer. Those who have cancer. And they want to listen to this program, even when this program is replayed. And you know someone who has cancer. Let them listen to this program when it is replayed. And they will have a testimony to send in to that program that Pastor Elby will know that the Lord is working through his life and through those that he is still in contact with. Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, we thank you. We give you praise and glory, Lord, for all types of healing now. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Stomach problems, yes, stomach problems are being healed now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shoulders. Shoulders are being healed right now. There's someone there who is having problems of raising their shoulder, and he is healing you. You can lift that shoulder now in the name of Jesus. There's someone who is walking, and you feel that at times you have that problem in the heel and the instep, in the curved area there. There is pain that you couldn't walk properly. The Lord is healing you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, there's that person with that wrist problem. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Many people with wrist problems, you're being healed. Your shoulders, to your hands, to your fingers are being healed. There's a person with arthritis, oh God, that's being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, as you administer your healing, Lord, let the power of God fall upon your people. Let the Holy Spirit of God touch them. Let there be a open heaven over their houses. Let them feel the glory of God upon them. Let them feel a tangible manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. Let them know that he's touching them. This is a time that was ordained in heaven, even before the foundation of the world, that this may happen. Oh God, Satan. Satan is running. We see him fall like lightning from heaven. Oh God, when these things are happening, because we have the testimony of Jesus Christ to give. Oh God Almighty, we thank you for the healing that you're doing now and how you're touching your people, oh God. Lord God Almighty, touch them, oh God. Let them feel your awesome presence. Let them know that this is not a one-way relationship. This is a two-way relationship, oh God. And there is communion every day. We'll be getting to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise and glory, Lord. All the praise and glory is unto you. What can we do, oh God, without you? Nothing, I say nothing, oh God. We thank you for your presence, oh God. We give you praise and glory. Lord God, that stubborn back pain that someone's having there, I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Scoliosis of the spine, let it be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Every pain from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're dealing with the heart now. You're going to put joy and your peace in the heart of your people. Let them know that you love them. You love them with that love, oh God, because you sent your son, your only begotten son, to die on that cross for us because of the love that you have for us, because we had no way out. We only had to come to you and embrace what you have done for us almost 2,000 years ago at Calvary's Hill. And Lord, when you raised from the dead on the third day, oh God, you gave us life truly, the life that we have. And we know that life is in the Son, and that life is only through Jesus Christ. And we thank you today for that life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you all were blessed with what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. I just want to reveal something here, what the Lord is saying about Pastor Elby and those who are with him, those who are holding strong with him. And what the Lord is saying about the ministry is important to the Lord, because this, when he chose Pastor Elby, he knew that he will obey him and speak exactly what was given to him to be spoken to the people. And I just want to go through a few things here, what the Lord is saying about Pastor Elby and the ministry. He said, Pastor Elby is not just a prophet, but he's God's own prophet. He's my own prophet. He said, those who blaspheme against him and call him a false prophet they're really coming against the Holy Spirit of God. And we know Jesus spoke a lot of times, and especially in Luke 10, when he said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you in this life, nor in the life to come. And we have to understand when we say something about a man of God, we are coming against the Holy Spirit, because the man of God is only speaking what the Lord has asked him to speak. We have to understand that. In Psalms 105, in the 14th and 15th verse, he said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. He's speaking about his prophet. He said, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. This is a message for those who are coming against this ministry, or who is saying things about Pastor LV saying that he's a false prophet. Well, God is saying he is God's own prophet. Remember in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he spoke about that we are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. And if any man defile that temple or come against that temple, God shall destroy that person who is coming against the temple of God. We who have the Spirit of God in us, all of those who are saved and received the Holy Spirit of God, they are God's temple. And when we speak the things of God. But still, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us that when the man of God says something, that we go to God and ask him and let him confirm it. We do that because we know we are living not in the atmosphere where God's glory is present all the time. And the reason why, because it's carnal down here. Only heaven has that atmosphere where the glory of God and where it is perfect. So when we say things here, it can be intercepted by the evil one. That's why it is good that we check. But I tell you, so far, all the stuff that I heard, and I haven't heard all the things that Pastor Elby had said, but I know they're coming straight from the heart of God. Again, what a message in John 20, 21 to 23, which pertains, again, to us. And I want you to keep this message, this scripture in mind, because it will relate to the messages I'm going to bring today. It says, peace be unto you. This is Jesus after he has resurrected, and he came and he met the disciples, and they were there gathered together. He said, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And that's the message I want you to keep in your heart right now, because that's something, when you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and he said, when he had breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, that is what happened. They received the Holy Spirit, and he was saying to them, as my Father has sent me, so I sent you. So he said, later and further on, he said, whosoever sin you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin you retain, they are retained. Now, this pertains especially to Pastor Elway in this case, whereby if he doesn't forgive that person who says things about him, in some way, he just leaves it there, that person is not forgiven. They are not forgiven. And the Lord has given us authority in his name that we forgive sins of those people who come against us. And when we do it, if we hold it in a case like this where they're coming against the Holy Spirit, there sins are held onto them. It's here. It's God's word. I am reading nothing outside of the word of God. And the Lord wants us to know that when he anoints a man who he has chosen as Pastor Elby, we have to understand that when he is speaking as though God himself is speaking. And we have to respect that. We have to respect that. So that's why I had this message for for Pastor Elfie, for him to know that when he forgives these people, he is actually not allowing God to have the wrath of God come upon them. Because if he doesn't forgive them, things can happen to them. We don't know what God would do. And that's why we got to have mercy on people. They say things, they do not know God. Well, we didn't know God. We did things that were contrary to the word of God. So we're going to have mercy on some people. And we've got to have mercy on them and let the Lord help them. Now, concerning the ministry itself, the purpose of the Lord's Hour ministry and the Lord's Hour program itself is to bring awareness to people and warning them the time is close and to be in readiness for the rapture. They must repent continuously and forgive others. They must live a life that's pleasing to God. And we have to understand this is a life, we don't do it one day. This is a continuous thing as we grow closer to God, as we grow in that relationship with God. And this ministry was put there to bring awareness to people. A lot of people were not aware that they have to continuously repent. They thought, well, I repented before the altar once and I'm okay. No, it's a continuous work the Lord is trying to do. Now, back again to what the Lord was saying about Pastor Elvie, is that he gave this, and you're going to understand, any time I say my, he was speaking directly, and his servant, he was speaking directly to Pastor Elvie. He said, the secret things in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the work, the words of the law. And the law of God is the will of God, the will that he has given us. He says again in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing but that he revealing his secret to his servant, the prophet. This his is what he was speaking directly about Pastor Elvie. So he will do nothing without revealing it to his secret to his servant. Remember, it is his servant, the prophet. Again, in Revelation 10:11, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So this is what Pastor Elvie has been doing, and he has been drawing a lot of people who God has been speaking to bring forth the prophecy so that you can understand that we are in the last times. The people may become aware. Some people are not taking it seriously if they have to, but we are in the last time. Before we finish this program, we could all be taken out. We do not know the hour nor the day, not even the Son of Man nor the angel, but only the Father himself. And the Father is revealing things in these times so that we will be prepared as the bride of Christ. And you'll hear one of the visions that the Lord has given me as we go on. He said, you, Pastor Elvie, can only reveal what God shows you. And sometimes our interpretation may not be fully understood, but nevertheless, God wants people to know that he speaks through his prophet, and this is real. He wants them to know that heaven and hell is real. He wants them to know that through this ministry, he is bringing them to that awareness. He wants them to know. We were put as watchmen for many nations of the world, and he wants us to speak through this program to bring that awareness. Because if we do not do it, then the blood is in our hands. Remember what he said in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 3, he gave him that roll, that scroll to eat. And then he said, go, son of man, go and speak to the house of Israel and let them know. If a man sin and you told him about it and you blow that trumpet in other words and you tell him that he is wrong and he repents of his sins, then he will be blessed. And that blood is not in your hand. But if you know he has sinned and you have not told him and he didn't repent of the sins, and you knew that you had to tell him, then the blood is in your hand. We don't want the blood to be in our hand. It is our responsibility. And as we go through this, I want you to understand that this is where it's coming from. There is a responsibility that we have. As we were given authority, we have also responsibility. The Lord is using many of you all who are on the program with messages that you get, with dreams and visions, and it is all to come to this time and bring you together. There are many more people that will come together through this program, and many more things will happen as the time grows closer, as he would reveal much, much more to many of you all. And many of you will have revelations. As I was telling Pastor Elvie, there's a woman in the church that I prayed with, and she never knew Christ to the extent that she's supposed to. She had an ankle problem, and I was standing in Trinidad. I'm from Toronto, and the Lord sent me to Trinidad. And I just want you to see how the Lord works in these cases when he wants to send you. He spoke to the man of God. He had spoken to me first and told me, I got to go. Because I've been asking him for years. I said, Lord, send me. As Isaiah 6 says, send me. I am here, Lord, send me. And I was waiting on him to do something. And he said to me, pack your suitcases. He told my wife, he said to her, he said, he's going to win souls for the kingdom. When he's leaving, do not cry. He said, do not cry. He's doing this for me. I want you to have joy in your heart. I want you to have a joy in your heart. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave this man the word. He was in prayer, and as he was coming out of prayer, the Lord tell him, go and tell Pastor James to go to Trinidad. And he called me at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he gave me that testimony, what the Lord told him. And I took that, and I waited. There's another pastor. He forgot that he thought I was gone because I was revealing something to him. And he thought I was gone already, and the Lord spoke to him and said, go to Pastor James and tell him that he has to get ready to go. I was like Gideon. I was waiting on something from the Lord. So I said, no, Lord, I need something from you. I need something powerful. You spoke to men of the Bible, and you gave them all these things. I want something powerful from you. So one afternoon, it was around 6 p.m., I was sitting home in Toronto, and we were looking at a preacher who was preaching on television, Joseph Prince. And I fell into a trance, or I fell asleep, whichever one you want to call it. And before I knew it, I was in the television. I was sitting there between two pastors. And Joseph Prince is preaching. And then he turned to me, as I was sitting between the two pastors, and he said to me, he said, you, the Lord is saying you have to go and do this now. Go and do what he's asking you to do. And you have to go right away. And then I woke up. And I told my wife, I said, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. Because she was sitting there, and I was sitting in a recliner, and I was looking at this show. And she said, what? What happened? And I told her. And she said, you wouldn't believe what happened here. She said, while you were here asleep, the glory of God filled the entire hallway. The glory of God, a big light was flashing in this hallway. And I said, well, this is what he told me. She said, well, go and do it. And that's when I came to Trinidad. And I stood in the mall. But he also told me something else. He said, when you go to Trinidad, the first church that you see a door opening, someone, the pastor or someone will be opening the door of that church. I want you to go in there, and I want you to preach in that church. Now, when I came to my brother's house because I'm originally Trinidadian, but lived in Canada for 30 years. So he sent me back to Trinidad. And my brother is taking me to this place right now where I go, where the church is. And that's a story by itself, which I'll let you know about. And I just want you to see what God does when we trust him and when we obey God. And in each of our lives, it is like a testimony when we obey God. As Elvie and most of you all are doing, that's why you're hearing from the Lord that much. So while we were driving down the same day, this is 2011, January, and there was a church there. And there was someone opening the door, and I told my brother, I said, stop, stop. He said, why do I stop here? I said, stop. I said, I want you to pull in that churchyard. He said, but there's nobody there. No one is there. There's no cars, nothing. I said, don't worry, just go in there. So I went into the church, and the woman who was opening the door was pastor. She's a pastor. So I went in there, and I spoke to her. I said, I'm Pastor James. I just came down today from Toronto, and the Lord just told me that, not just told me, but he told me, when I see someone opening the door, I have to come into this church. So I come now. I am just going to pray with you. And as soon as I raised my hand to pray with her, she got slain. And I picked her up. She fell on the bench. I picked her up, and we started talking. And I told her, and she said, well, you're invited to come here anytime and preach. And I said, thank you. I said, I have to go get something straightened out. What time is your service? What is the end? Said, well, they have services on Wednesdays, and they have Fridays and Sundays at 9 o'clock. I said, okay, I will be there. She introduced me to, and you'll understand why this church is so important. And why, when we obey God, why it is important. So she introduced me to the bishop who was in charge there. And in the Sunday service, I was there, and he called me up, and he said, he introduced me to everyone. And then his wife came, and she was in the office, and when she came out, and she went straight to the bishop and told him, she said, I saw this man. I saw this man in a dream. I know the Lord told me about this man. He was coming to our church to preach. And then he announced and he said, whenever, I'm going to open the pulpit to this man to preach, whenever. So what happened there, there were other pastors in the church, and there was jealousy, and there was envy, and there was everything that was going on, and they didn't want this to happen. So I was preaching every Sunday in that church. And the Lord was doing mighty things there. And then because of what was happening, the pastors, they were training pastors. They started staying away from church. And the bishop told them, he said, listen to me. Pastor James is just passing through here. Let us use him. He was sent here by God. We are blessed to have this happening. This is not him. This is God doing something. Let us allow. But they never heeded to anything. The Lord appeared to me one night, and this time he was not wearing his wife, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Holy Lord, appeared to me, and he stood at the doorway of the church, and he would not come in. And I said, Lord, come in. He said, I cannot come in. He said, those who have not received you, they have not received me. And if they have not received me, they have not received my Father. I cannot come into that church. He said, I want you to leave. And I left. I told the bishop that I have to go. At that time, I was going every day to the mall because this is what the Lord sent me to do for years in Canada. I go to the mall, and he spoke to me as clearly as you can hear my voice. And he said, I want you to go to this particular mall, and I want you to speak to people. And I used to go and sit on the benches at the mall and just wait on someone to come and sit down. I said, Lord, you will send them. And you will tell me what's wrong with them. And he will give me the word of knowledge of each person. If they're sick, with back pains, whatever it is, he will give me that word of knowledge. And when he gives that, it open up their hearts to believe, and then they will come and give themselves to Christ. And this is how he sent me to win souls for Jesus Christ, for himself, into the kingdom of heaven. So this is something that we got to understand. So back to the woman now, and she came to me, and she had this ankle problem. And the Lord healed her. She gave herself to Christ. The Lord healed her. She was suffering from diabetes for 32 years, 30 of which she had and was taking 2 insulin injections per day. And the Lord healed her. And then he started doing things in the life. He started speaking to her. She had problems in the shoulder. He healed her. He was testing her to see where she would go first, if she would go to the doctor or she would go to him for prayer. And he started healing her. And then she started doing praise and worship at least 4 to 6 hours a day. She was worshiping the Lord, and the Lord started appearing to her. And I was telling Pastor Elvy that he appeared, he came in to the store that she worked in, this mall, in the shopping mall, and he visited her physical and spoke to her. And he started speaking to her and everything. It was my birthday at one time. So this is how much the Lord loves us and how he takes care of us. And she was preparing a basket with a few people in the church, 4 people in the church, and they were preparing a basket for me for my birthday, a gift basket. And they were going to buy pineapples and whatever. And the Lord spoke to her and said, no, give them Chinese food. I'm a lover of Chinese food, guys, but I only eat fish. And that came up because I'm in the mall and I speak to people in the food court. So I am there and I am fasting all the time, and the Lord put me in the food court for testing. So if we're going through testing in our lives, there are 15 or 16 food outlets in this place, and I'm in the middle of this thing, sitting there, administering to people who are eating in front of me. And I have to pray with them and bring them to Christ without even worrying. We are tested every day, and we will pass the test because he will not put us through something that he is not going to hold our hand through. And as we pray for people continuously there, it is how much the Lord wants to speak to us. I cannot tell you don't eat meat or don't eat this or whatever. The Lord will administer to you and tell you. But it happened to be one day right in the mall as I was leaving to go home, and I was going to take a meal with me. I stood up there and I see the lamb, I see chicken, I saw everything there. And I was saying, oh, I should have some of this. And I was eating everything at that time. And the Lord said to me, fish only. So from that day on, I started eating fish only, with vegetables and fruits and everything else. And do not go with what I am saying, but I say to you, you ask the Lord what he wants you to do, because there's much things in all those foods, and he just wants us to eat the stuff that will keep our bodies, this is the temple of God, keep us pure as well before him. Again, he may allow people to eat shrimp and all that stuff, but he never allowed me to eat shrimp or lobster, a long time now. And pork, never, never. He never let me touch that. The Lord, whatever he's doing for me might be different from what he's doing to Pastor Elvy, or some of you all may have different testimonies as to what the Lord is doing in your lives concerning food. So the woman now, the same woman, one day we were having service, and the service was going on, and I took the shofar and I blew the shofar. But before I blew the shofar, I tell them, I said, the Lord is going to do something special. I said, someone is going to visit heaven today when I blow the shofar. And as I blow the shofar, this woman actually got a visit. She said she felt her whole inside lifted off, and she went and got a visit to heaven. From that day on, she is never the same person, never. And that's why he has been appearing to her and speaking to her and doing all these things. The Lord is working mightily. I just want to take you now to a couple of things that the Lord has been revealing to me concerning things that I know is common with all of us. I will speak about the President of the United States as the first person that I want to speak about. For years now, the Lord has been showing me visions of this man, but has not revealed anything until lately in a dream. And it's my old workplace in Canada is where this dream took place. And President Obama was there, and he was opposite where I was sitting. I was sitting in my workplace, and as though the room opened up into a bigger area, and there were more desks there. But he was at one desk with another man, a Caucasian man, slim, tall. He's about 6 feet odd, and wearing, I remember very distinctly, he's wearing a white shirt, he was wearing a black tie, a black pants, he was sitting at the desk, he was on the phone. And Obama moved across from there and he went to another desk, and he was sort of opposite me. And then the Lord started speaking to me and he said, this man, he said, look at his laugh, listen to his laugh, how it is so false, it is so counterfeit. He said everything about him, look at his smile, everything is counterfeit, everything about this man is false, and he is going to bring so much problems, and the dream ended. But think of the things that he has in common with Satan, deceitfulness, falseness, that which is counterfeit. You know, Satan always, the angels trying to bring themselves to be angels of light. It's so many things. And you will understand from all of these. And I want you to know when I'm speaking that the shout of the Lord is coming through me, and most of you always feel a reverberation in your stomach. You will feel your heart pounding, or you will feel something and you will know. You will get a confirmation right away from the Lord. And Pastor Elvy, if you are getting something, I need you to let me know, because I don't want this to be a one-way conversation. I want you all to participate when you can, if I ask, as we go along. So is anybody feeling that presence that they will know and understand? Are you, Pastor Elvy? Hello?
I'm sorry, Pastor. I have my mic. I'm muted.
Yes. Yes. Are you hearing? Did you hear what I said? Are you feeling or getting any confirmation that when I speak, that you will get a confirmation from the Lord that what I'm saying right away, you will get a confirmation?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, I want to move on to a couple more quickly before we get into something that the Lord wants me to bring tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know how much time has gone yet. Hallelujah. But we will go on until the Lord stops us here. Hallelujah. So, there was this dream that I had where the Lord was walking. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was wearing his white gown. It was around 6 p.m. It was now getting dark. And he was walking really quickly. It was different from all the other times that he appeared to me in dreams or in visions. He was in a hurry, and he didn't even look back or stop to talk to me as he normally would, but he was rushing, and he just turned back all of a sudden, and he looked at me, and he said, go tell the people to repent. And that was it, the end of the dream. Go tell the people to repent. The next dream he gave me the same night, he came back again. He was in a hurry. And he said, go and do it. I preached upon repentance, about repentance for 6 months in the church. As well as I took out an article in the newspaper, the local newspaper, asking people to repent. I ran it for an entire month. I did what the Lord was asking me to do. He loved obedience. There are many times the Lord is revealing stuff to us, and he's really speaking us to do something. He wants us to do something about it. He just doesn't want us to say we have something He wants us to do some. There's a message in everything for us. Amen. Now, there are testings that we're going through, and I want you to see why he, how he reveals a couple of these things to me. He gave me a dream where the Lord was there again in his white gown. There was another person in a white gown and myself. And we were at the seaside. But as though it was the ledge that we had to walk on, it was just about 8 inches wide. And on our left side is the sea. But he covered the sea with a plastic. And I guess he covered it because he didn't want me to fear anything at all. Because if I look into the water, as when Peter looked and he got scared, he sank. Or I will fall off that ledge or something will happen. So God knows everything and we trust him. So he went ahead, and on the right-hand side is the land. But it's not too far from the ground, from where we were walking. It was just about 8 inches above. So anyway, he went ahead and walked. And he walked backwards. And coming to the end of it, he had a little misbalance, and then he got back his balance, and he made it and stood at the back of me. And the person who was there in white as well said, now it's your turn. And I went there, and I started walking backward. The Lord was behind me, and this person in front of me, and I'm walking backwards. And my feet, as there was feeling, we were both barefooted. And I felt as though my feet were sticking onto the floor of this. And I continued walking backwards. And when I made it, there was no misbalance or anything. I made it there, and the Lord said, great, great. And he reminded me of the scripture in John 14:12, greater works than these you shall do, because I go to the Father. He tests us, and he wants us to know that he is there with us to take us through it, and he will commend us as we go along. Another testing that he gave me, something that was really powerful. In this dream, I was in this room. Well, it's a big room. And there were a lot of benches there, and a lot of people were sitting down. And a man was coming out of an office and interviewing us. I got the impression as though this person was an angel of God, or he was God. And at the back of us, there was another table with a book. And I only learned about the book after. And someone came out of the room, and I said, how was it? How did it go? And he didn't speak to me. He was so sad. He left, and he walked away. And then this person came and it said, your turn. And I went in there and I said, well, what is it you have to tell me that you have to interview me on what? And I went there and he was asking me about Jesus Christ, about the love for him. And I don't remember the rest of the stuff. And then I came out and I realized I was out of the room and I was walking out. And then the person at the back with the book called me and he said, come. You have to sign next to your name. Your name is in this book. That's the book of life. And there was another person with me that was signing before me. I didn't recognize anyone there. But I signed and then I left. And that was the end of the dream. We have to go through that test. When we go into that interview with God, every day in our lives, he's putting us through a test and he wants us to make sure and that we understand that he is with us in it. Amen. Another dream, there's so much to talk about here. He took me to the threshing floor. And he took me to the threshing floor. And this is the place where I was born in Trinidad. And I knew that this place was, there was a threshing floor. And when he took me there, he was sitting, and the same person who was in that other dream, who was doing the testing, was there again. And he sat with two chairs. Him in one and this other person, and I sat in the third chair, which was facing the Lord. When he sat, I looked in the chair, and I could see diagonal on the chair the shadow and the light of the sun. And then the Lord came and he sat, and he put the shadow over me. And then it came to mind the scripture in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And then we understand what the Lord was saying. And he sat there, And he was speaking to me, and I asked him, and I was talking to him. I remember the end of the conversation. I said, Lord, would you come home? Would you come home? And he said, yes, I will come home. He said, but not yet, soon. And I started weeping because this assurance came upon me that the holiness of God came upon me, and I started weeping. And then in that time, I was thinking in the dream. I said, Lord, how am I going to transport you now? I don't have a car. I don't have anything to take you, to get you to my home for you to... And then the Lord said, "When if you put something in my spirit saying, well, we can translate." And I remember that right away, and the dream ended. But the threshing floor represented very many things in the Bible, as we understand. The threshing floor represents a place of worship, a place of separation, the wheat from the chaff. And he is speaking about in these last times when he's coming, this is what he's coming to do. He's going to take his bride home and separate them for those who have not received him, and they're going to go into the tribulation. And we have to pray for those who are going through the tribulation. We have to let them know that they should not take the mark of the beast. And this is something that we have to continuously say. But it is our first thing to tell, let them know that we have to bring them to Christ first. It is our job to bring them to Christ. He showed me many things about the different type of churches that exist now, the four types of churches that exist in different dreams. And I don't want to go into detail. We can maybe do that at another time. But what he was speaking about is the churches that are going after money, and the churches who are building big organizations, and the churches that are polluted. And he showed me these specifically in four different dreams. And then he showed me that church that was so small. It was not a big church where he was and where people are being saved and his miracle and his things are happening. And I just want you to know that you belong to that church where things are happening, where God is, where he is going to do something. He will never reject us when we come to him with an open heart, repenting all the time. He will never do that. Another quick dream I want you to remember, I got this just recently, is I was in this room. It's a big house. And many people were coming and decorating the room. And I said, what is going on? He said, this is for the homecoming. I realized it was in heaven. And they are so anxious and waiting on the bride of Christ that they started decorating the place already. And everybody is so excited. And then I was waiting to see who was coming up. And then he gave me a separate vision as though there were these women and they were all pregnant. And I said, well, what is this? I don't understand why, because who are going up? Why are they pregnant? And then this relates really to the Jewish people, that they are going to give birth now, and it's time, until the fullness of the Gentiles, then they will be ready. And this is all scriptural. If you read it, you'll read it in Romans 11, you'll read it in Revelation 12, you'll read it in 1st, I think it's 2nd Corinthians 3 as well, which he spoke about these things. The Lord also spoke about to me, he said, 5 minutes. And I couldn't understand it, and I spoke to Pastor Elby about this, and I couldn't understand what he meant by 5 minutes. I know he has revealed a lot of things on people in that clock that he said in 5 minutes. I do not understand it. I will never dare to try to find out what it is and what does it mean until he comes again and reveals it, because I was putting it out. I had put something to Pastor Elby, which was telling him, you know, I feel that a day is 1,000 years. That's what the Bible says. And he said there are 12 hours in a day. Therefore, 12 by 60 is 720. If 1,000 is divided, it means that's 1 in 3 years. And maybe he's given us an indication. But he will not give us an indication like that, because he will not give us the time or the day or the hour. So I discounted that totally. So I just leave the 5 minutes until the Lord really reveals us what the 5 minutes mean. He speak about a much about earthquakes. I see many visions about Armageddon and what is happening in the tribulation. Yesterday at 5 o'clock, I saw brimstone and fire in the sea with a lot of volcanic action, lots of it. And funny enough, when I was listening to the program at 8 o'clock, I heard that the topic was on this thing that was happening somewhere in, I can't remember the place now that he was speaking about, but they were speaking about this. And this is just a confirmation of the earthquakes, the Canary Islands, I think it was, that what was happening out there. And he showed me this. There are many earthquakes that he showed me about, but I want to speak of something that was happening here in Trinidad. In February 2011, I had a dream, and I was there downtown. Port of Spain is a city, and I was downtown facing the sea, and a tsunami was coming towards Trinidad and Tobago. And the Lord said to me, I was there with my son David. Actually, my son, in most of these dreams, where he took me, and there are big events or big things going to happen, my son is always there. I also see him in Jerusalem with me when the Lord took me there. But we were there, I was speaking, and he said, raise your hands and say, peace be still. So I raised my hands and I said, peace be still. And the 40 feet of water that was coming went down to 2 feet of water. So I woke up in the morning, obviously, I remember the dream distinctly, and I went to the mall as normal. I stand there, I was ministering to people, and a woman came to me. She was sent by that woman from the store, and as she was walking towards me, I told her, I said, the Lord wants to heal you of that back pain. And she came to me, and I spoke with her. She gave herself to Christ, and she got healed. While she was walking away, the Lord told me, give her your phone number. I gave her my phone number. I said, you're going to have 7 dreams and visions. I need you to let me know what they are. After 1 week, she called me back. She said, Pastor, this is the dream that the Lord gave me. I was in a room with you, and we were praying, and we were kneeling down. And the Lord appeared in the room, and there was an earthquake going on. He appeared, and he said, "You, because you all are praying, this nation will not be destroyed by that tsunami and earthquake. Praise the Lord." There was an earthquake the next day after the dream. I forgot to tell you that. The next day, there was an earthquake at 4.2 on the Richter scale, and that could be checked out. It could be checked out. Hallelujah. In September of that 2011 again, he showed me the exact thing. The same thing happened. He allowed me to pray downtown Port of Spain, and 2 feet of water came in. As I'm speaking now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon me so much, somebody is getting healed right now. As right now. And someone is getting a revelation from the Lord right now. Someone is getting a true confirmation and a revelation from the Lord. I know when something is happening. Something is happening. Many things are happening right now, as a matter of fact. Many things are happening. The Lord will reveal them to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There are many things are happening. He gave me a lot of visions and dreams of things that were happening, even Washington. And I don't know, I have never been to Washington, D.C. I've never been to Capitol Hill. But he showed me this dome being toppled over a few years ago, which is signifying that the economy is going to fall. More recently, he showed me a $10,000 bill that I found while walking on the sidewalk of Turkey, that country, Turkey. And I picked it up, and I said, but this doesn't have any value. It doesn't have much value. So he's also signifying here that there's going to be a devaluation in the currency for that nation, so look out for it. Because before these things were happening in Europe, the Lord had already revealed all of these to me, and I sent an email to my brother letting him know that what was going to happen. I said, countries are going to go bankrupt. And he doubted me. He said, that's impossible. And we see it, what happened to Greece and Cyprus and most of these places, what is happening. These things he revealed. He revealed to me about China, about Japan. He specifically told me about the earthquake in Iran that happened recently. He told me that that was going to happen. He revealed to me many things. He told me the night before the Pope was elected that the Pope was going to come from Argentina. He was going to come from an Italian background. He told me this, and he reminded me of a friend that I had from Argentina. Simple things. There was an earthquake that's going to come to Trinidad, which only happened recently. And the Lord, as I'm speaking, I'm telling you the power of God is so much here, and I know he's touching you all. He told me, I came back from the mall on a Saturday evening, and I bought a bottle of peanuts. They have these peanuts selling here that are seasoned, and I love it. So I bought a bottle, and I came home, and I put it up the refrigerator, and I sat down. And as I sat down, the Lord said to me, he said, remove the bottle. It's going to fall with the earthquake. I didn't take it on. I didn't think that there was going to have an earthquake. I mean, he's speaking to me too clearly now. There's too many times. So half an hour went by. I'm sitting. The Lord said to me, go remove that bottle. Now, the earthquake is going to throw it down. So I picked it up. I have a basket on top of the refrigerator. I put it there, and I sat down, and I waited on the Lord. I started praying, and I went out. At 1:27 in the morning, the earthquake came. The first one came at around 3.2 on the Richter scale. It lasted for a nanosecond, not very long. The second one came just about a few seconds after. This one was about 5.3. And then I raised my hand. I said, Lord God, yes, I know you're speaking to me. But let nothing happen because we are praying for this nation. And the Lord, the earthquake stopped. Nothing happened in the nation. The Lord has revealed a lot of stuff to me. A lot of it I cannot say, and I told Pastor Elvie already that there are much that's going to happen, especially in these last times. He showed me the bride of Christ actually coming before the altar and repenting continuously. And this woman had on her gown white. I mean, you could see nothing more white than that. Yet, she came before the altar and repenting. And this is a vision that I had. The Lord showed me many things about the love that he has for us. There's too many visions about what's going to happen before his coming. There's a lot, and we will speak about that. I have to look at the timing here. I see we are running out of time because I want Pastor Elvie to come back on. The bride of Christ repenting, obviously, we have a lot of reasons why we have to continue repenting because we're always doing things. And he gave me something that I used in one of my messages once. He said, we sin as much as the U.S. Treasury print bills. So we have to repent continuously. Hallelujah. Today the message that the Lord wants me to bring is the will of the Father. It's called the will of the Father. And I want you to understand what the will of the Father is. The will of the Father is the very heart of Jesus Christ. So the heart of Jesus Christ, what he has in his heart to do, to carry out, to fulfill, is the will of the Father. It is the purpose of the Father. It's what the Father chose and asked him to do. And if you remember in that Gospel of John, when he went to the well, where the woman from the Samaritan woman was, and his disciples had gone into town, he went there, and he was waiting until they come back. And when they came back, they said to him, in the 33rd verse of the 4th chapter of John, they said, therefore, said the disciples one to another, have any man brought him bread to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And this is what he wants us to have in our heart today. It's the will of the Father that he did. When Jesus Christ came, he came to fulfill all that was written in the law of Moses. And this is in Luke 24:44. It says, all that is written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, he came to fulfill that which was written of him. He came to fulfill everything, and this is his will. I want you to keep this. Remember that scripture that I gave? As the Father sent him, so he sent us. This is what he wants us to do as well. When he came to fulfill that which the Father sent him, as his only begotten Son, to die on that cross at Calvary, so that we who are sinful through him can come to him and repent and have forgiveness of sins. This is the primary purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth as a man. Calvary's cross, what he suffered and what he died, is an example for us to see. The God giving up all his reverence, his holy abode, his everything that one will worship him for, and he came to mankind to tell them that, listen, I am he who the Father has sent, and through me is the life. The testimony that my Father gave of me is that through me is that life, and no one can go to him, the Father, except through me. You have to receive this and have this in you. As a result, if you receive this, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and indwell you. And you will be able to go and do what now that I was sent to do. So he will give you power and authority to fulfill the purpose of God, which is the will of God, which is the heart of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, he came to fulfill that. So he came also to fulfill that he will come against the works of the devil. He speak about that he has to come to fulfill that was sent him. I remember that scripture, I think, is in 1 John 3:8. He was manifested, yes, he was manifested to destroy the works of Satan. That was the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that none perish, but all come to repentance. That becomes the will of the Lord himself. So everything that the Father, remember, he always said, I do nothing on my own, but all that the Father has asked me to do, that is what I do. If you don't believe my witness, at least believe him that sent me. By the works that I do, it is not me, but my Father working in me. And it's a continuous reminder that we have to understand in that scripture in John 20, when he says, as the Father has sent me, so I sent you. And in John 4, he was speaking to his disciples to remind them that when you go, look at the field. It is ripe. It's ready to harvest. So I want you to go as those and harvest. He said, I don't want you to go after the 99. I want you to go after the one. You see, I came so that I will go after sinners, those that who have to repent. Now, when he sent us, he's sending us with that same thing. He give us the witness to go and speak that witness to the people. It is incumbent upon us to go out there and speak to the people about Jesus Christ. In Mark 16, in the 15th verse, and I don't want to go to many scriptures, I guess I will have to cut this short in what we have to do here. Hallelujah. Because I have to be running through scriptures as well. I don't have many of these things written down, but in Mark 16, in the 15th verse, he sent them out. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he who believeth not shall be damned. And three signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He gave us a commission in Luke 10, as well as he sent his disciples. He sent them out, and he said, go and raise the dead. Go and do this work. This is what he wants us to do. The message that he's giving us today is that he has given us the tools available. The Holy Spirit is all we need. He, the Holy Spirit, that indwells us. The power he has given us. He said, go. I think it's Acts 1:8, until you have received power from on high, and go with that power. The authority you've given us already, go and do this. The power of God is God's ability given to mankind by the Holy Spirit to perform his works on earth for the good of mankind, for the glory of his name. The authority is us acting on behalf of him to fulfill his divine purpose, allowing him to work through us and give that gift. You see, you have received, now give freely. You've received freely, give freely. The goal of our life is to go out there and bring in souls for the harvest. We are already working with all that we need to have in us. The onus now becomes on us. It's on us now to go out there and speak to the people. Even if you bring one person to Christ in a month, we are fulfilling why Jesus went on that cross. And we are also obeying the commands of God, which is go out there and do what I ask you to do, which is fulfilling the will of the Father, which is the heart of Jesus Christ. If we do not do that, it is love in action. He said, those who forsake all and follow me, those who give up mother, father, and you'll find that in Mark 10 and 29 to 31, you will find that. He said, you give up father, mother, house, wife, children, to follow me, to serve me, and to speak the word of the gospel. You see, in this life, you will receive 100-fold. Mothers, sisters, brothers, and persecution, and eternal life to come. If he's saying this so many times, eternal life to come, then he's telling us that we have to fulfill that which he asks us to do. We continue to go and do his work. No greater love than this, than a man gave his life for his friends. When we do that, we fulfill that. In John 12, and I think it's in the 26th verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If the Father starts honoring you in whatever you say and ask for, then you know that you are fulfilling the will of the Father. And when we speak and we ask the Lord to do something, and he fulfills it right away, we know, or in his timing, we know that we are fulfilling what he asks us to do. Please, those who are anointed with the word, with the Holy Spirit of God, do this. This is what the Lord is asking us to do, especially in these last times. The program was set up to bring people closer to God, to bring awareness, to warn them the time is close and how we must repent. But many who are listening today have to understand their job to bring another person in to the kingdom. The Spirit of God will convict their heart. We just have to make the first step. Now, I'm going to pray a little while here that the anointing that the Lord has anointed me with concerning bringing people to Christ will rest upon you all. It is very, very important that you receive, because it takes me as little as 2 minutes or less to pray, and the Holy Spirit of God fall upon many people and they start speaking in tongues. And they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, many of them. And those who have known the Lord already, a lot of things happen. Gifts are imparted unto them that they will use it for ministry. And each one of us given a ministry. And we have to believe and trust that the Lord will reveal to us what that ministry is. It's great for us to sit down and say, Lord, you are coming. We are fine. We are going to make it in. But no, he wants us to have mercy. One of the things he reminded me a lot is that we got to pray for the people, the Jewish people. He said, continuously pray for the Jewish people. Pray for them, for mercy. Read Romans 11. Hallelujah. I haven't gone through half of the stuff, but he wants us to walk in obedience to him, follow the will of the Father. That is the heart of Jesus Christ. Our commission is to go out and do that which the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray now as we receive, and then Pastor Elvie, you can come back on and take us through the rest of the program, and you all can respond, because I would love to hear what happened or what is going on. Hallelujah. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God Almighty, I know you didn't put me in touch with Pastor Elvie for no reason. No, there is much, much has to happen. As he saw the visions of us working together already, and Lord God, you must have revealed very much to him, even in this hour and a half that has gone by. Not knowing that so much time has gone, Lord God Almighty, you are awesome. So Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking that you anoint your people. Anointing that you have given me, O God, that they can minister to people. And the Spirit of God will convict the hearts of those that you speak with very, very quickly, O God. Lord, let that same anointing be upon them even right now. Some of you are already receiving it. You will feel it. I know that. I know that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, let them receive this right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, reveal the ministry to them as well. And I ask, Lord, that you pass on gifts unto them to use. Yes, Lord, for the good of your people, for the glory of your name, O God, for the souls of your people. O God Almighty, let thy will be done now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Elvie.
Yes, Pastor.
Are you there?
Yeah,
yes,
I'm here,
you
Pastor.
You can go on now. I had to leave out a lot of stuff. I realized all the time was going. I didn't realize I'm there that long. I could go on for 3 days here speaking about the Lord. I love the Lord, and I know he's so close to you guys, all of you all there. Hallelujah. I love you all so much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you,
Pastor James, for coming on the Lord's Hour and letting the Lord use you to bring us a word. Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Well, shalom. Shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your brother in Christ, Brother Elvie Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to another Bible study. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are so grateful. Shalom, Brother Joseph, Sister Consuelo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shalom to those logging in, those calling on the cell phone. Shalom. I hope everyone, thank you, Lord, can, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, can partake in tonight's Bible study as we study the word together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, praise you, God. I wanted to start tonight in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 11 and on. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. As we begin this Bible study, hallelujah, with the title, the Lord says that he's going to bring, he says to Jeremiah 1:14, disaster. He says, the Lord says to me, disaster will put out from the north. Disaster will put out from the north. And we'll look up all these hundreds of Bible verses in regard to the Chaldeans, the army coming from the north. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. I believe we are going to soon begin to see things unfolding quickly, my brother and sister, because there is a word given to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. If you have your Bible and you would like to go with me to Jeremiah 1, my brother and sister, verse 11, thank you, Jesus, is going to help you to study the Word of God, my brother and sister. And thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Search what God is saying in his word. Amen. I'm going to read it from the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. The Lord there gave me something new I did not know, like some of you don't know neither. I'm sure of this because he gave it to me and I was shocked by surprise. Amen. I was explaining it. Hallelujah. When I tell you what he gave me yesterday morning, very surprised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is revealing his mystery to us, his word, my brother and sister, in such a special way because time is short. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Time is short, my brother and sister. Amen. So the Lord says to the prophet Jeremiah Jeremiah 1:11, again, the Lord spoke his word to me and asked, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I answered, I see the branch of an almond tree. And again, this almond tree that Jeremiah sees prophetically is a prophetic vision of something that God is about to do in the land, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. And praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, and then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God is saying, I'm going to do this quick, Jeremiah. Okay? Going to do this quick. There were people that saw an almond tree in Manhattan, New York. And they're seeing a lot of almond trees being planted in the last day around the United States. And they didn't know this is prophetic. They didn't know these almond trees that our city and state are planting, which they were not doing so before. They chose to, and some are being even planted in synagogue and churches. My brother and sister, and a lot of people who didn't know it was prophetic. Hallelujah. And so the almond tree has a message that comes with it, my brother and sister. And God says that he is going to do, and he's going to do something very fast. So when you see the almond tree, it's prophetic. And we're seeing it everywhere. It's being planted everywhere by big businesses. Somehow they had chosen the almond tree in the last days, when before they had chosen so many other trees. In the last day, they had chosen almond. My brother and sister, and it's so prophetic. So what do you see? I see a branch of an almond tree, okay? Thank you, Lord. A branch, part of it. Then the Lord says to me, right, I'm watching to make sure that the word comes true. Amen? So the almond tree, my brother and sister, is significant because then God said, I'm going to make sure after he sees the almond tree or the significant, he's practically giving the vision, the meaning of the vision to Jeremiah. This is significant, okay, that the word will be true. Hallelujah. And that I'm watching to make sure that my word comes true, come to pass. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Again, the Lord spoke to me and asked, what do you see? And I answered, verse 13, I see the boiling pot. And on top, a tail away from the north. Notice, it was tail away from the north. In other words, the opening, the beginning of the judgment is coming from the north. Now, there is verses that the kingdom of heaven, it points to the north. But this judgment that God is speaking to Jeremiah is specifically pointing from the north, my brother and sister, which to us will be Russia. Russia, the north, my brother and sister. Amen. And into the, back into like 2,000-3,000 years ago, in the times of Jeremiah, as the land and map, everything has moved, Russia was specifically to the north of Israel. It still kind of is, but it was so specific to the north. And God said to the north, my brother and sister, God said he will use Russia. But barely less than 2,000 years ago, Russia was not a nation yet. It was not even formed. It began with family. And the Bible will tell you about the family. I heard a rabbi talking about this, and he started talking about in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, when we're talking about Babylon, the Chaldeans, I'm sorry, which were Babylon, they had joined force. But you have Babylon, which was Iraq. And then you have the Chaldean, which is, it was more to the part of Turkey back then. And from that part of Turkey, they decided to move to the north part to Russia, what is called Russia today. My brother and sister. But those families decided to split and go to those parts. Praise the Lord. So he said, I answered, and I see a boiling pot, and on top till away from the north. Then the Lord says to me, and one of the reasons that we're reading the Bible is that the Chaldeans were cruel people. They were not people that would stay in Turkey or stay in Syria, because they were also close to Syria. They were not staying apart. They wanted to have their own land. They wanted to have their own nation, their own country. My brother insisted. Amen. Because they were fearful people. Imagine they joined King Nebuchadnezzar to overcome Israel at that time. My brother and sister. In the time of Jeremiah. Amen. Then the Lord says to me, verse 14, disaster will be poured out from the north. Notice how God's saying, this is how it's going to come. Now, since this is prophetic word, okay, God is saying he's going to use Russia. The north again, when we talk about the north, the kingdom of heaven is in the north. The verses are pointing to the north. Kingdom of God began to the north. But in the north to Israel was Russia. So God said he was going to use Russia, the Chaldean. That's what he used. That's what he did. My brother insisted. It's just so amazing how everything came about, how God said there will be. My brother insisted. And it came about. Okay, and he says, verse 15, I'm going to call every family of the kingdom from the north, declares the Lord. They will come and they will set up their thrones at the entrance of Jerusalem gates. And this is what happened with the Chaldeans in the times of Jeremiah. They set up their thrones at the gate of it. They set a camp, Jeremiah explains later on, next to Jerusalem. Before they overtook the city. The Israel was so confident in their army and their weapons, how trained the soldier was, and how powerful Israel was with gold, silver, and so much more, that they were not afraid of Babylon in that regard. My brother and sister, they thought they could easily overcome Babylon, and they were with God. They were easily overcoming. My brother, but God was bringing the judgment against them, and that is the difference. That God can raise 200 like with Gideon and overcome the Philistine, a powerful nation of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of soldiers, well-trained soldier in battle, and easily with 200 men, God went and defeat the Philistine. And logical, that is impossible. and human mind and teaching and understanding, that's impossible. And military training and knowledge, that's impossible. How can 200 untrained soldiers, because that's exactly what God was sending against the Philistine, can overcome hundreds of thousands of trained soldiers who are training every day, whose whole life is for battle, well-trained in weapons and shield and everything they have? How can 200 untrained soldiers overcome them easily like God did with? Because here the answer is God was with them. And this is what is changing at the end of time. God is the one choosing a nation to overcome the rest of the nation, and God is with them. And so it doesn't matter what the nation have or what the nation can do, is that God is with them. Even untrained soldier, God used it. He overcame his enemy. My brother and sister, this is the part that human understanding don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to people. It just doesn't make sense. They will attack all the war around the city and all the city of Judah, and I will pass sentence on my people because of all their wickedness. They have abandoned me. Notice why is the reason God is passing sentence. Remember that God is the judge of all the universe. God is the judge of all creation. And Father is saying here, I am passing judgment. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. He is the one saying, I'm going to do this. I will pass sentence on my people. And this is what God is saying to America. I will pass sentence on America. I am passing sentence on America, God is saying, through his prophet. Day by day, he's speaking. Sister Celestial, hallelujah. Sister Barbara and many others. God is saying, I am passing sentence on America. My Lord, my God, have mercy. Have mercy. Because of all the wickedness. One thing, wickedness. And second, they have abandoned me, the backsliding nation. My brother and sister, and there's nothing worse than a backsliding Christian. Because a demon that was taken out when it was filled with the presence of God goes and gets seven more, and the state of the person become worse. Those people become full of demons. They become worse. They behave worse. They will blaspheme God. I will pass in there on my people because all the wickedness, they have abandoned me, burned incense unto other gods. Here's the thing when people abandon God, Christianity. They will end up worshiping other God. And that's why they are speaking with the Nephilim through the stones. And whatever those Nephilim are telling them is lie, but they are believing them. They're trusting in other gods. Because they're telling them they're other gods, that they're coming soon to rule the earth. Burn incense to other gods. And worship what their hands have made. God saying they will worship them. When the second sermon was happening, I'll stay in New York. Particle accelerator, how they wanted it to be called. They had people worshiping, dancing and worshiping. They knew they were worshiping those gods, as God had said. There's a worship to them. Every time there's a particle accelerator, a sermon open, a huge communication portal with these demons, they begin worshiping them. My brothers and sisters, an abomination. Totally. Before God, and God can see that. The rest of the people don't see that. Oh, no, they just, you know, following what they're saying. Believing their lies. My Lord, my God. No, you believe Jesus. You seek God. You seek the word of God. Verse 17. Brace yourself, Jeremiah. Stand up and say to them, whatever I tell you to say. Here is where we have to say, as I said on Sunday, we have to say what God is saying to us, what he's showing us. We try to make the word easier for the people to receive it. And the Lord has said to me, no, say it. Say it. Just say it. And that was something he told me last night in the morning. He rebuked me harshly. My brother and sister, you know how I've been feeling sick? My wife ordered the COVID testing online. They'll send it to your house. I said, okay, let's see what happened. We'll do it. I know many people have done it. I went in prayer with the Lord. I was nervous. Said, Lord, should I do this, Lord? Please, Lord, please. And I, all night long, I'm asking the Lord, please, Lord, should I do this? Hallelujah. And the Lord had an answer for me. I had an answer about the COVID testing. And he showed me when I will get the COVID testing, like if I got it already. In the moment that I took the testing, my soul was removed out of my body, and I was going down to hell. I was trying to stop not going down to hell. But no, I couldn't stop myself. And immediately as I'm going down to hell and I'm entering hell, the place where the people that have been vaccinated are there, my brother sees me coming in. My brother in the flesh was there. Two of my brothers are there. And I could see them both. And when my brother John said, Elvie, you were preaching against this. Why did you take it? And I said, no, I didn't get vaccinated. I only was doing a test through my nose. And he says, you were preaching against this. Why would you do that? And I'm trying to tell my brother, no, I didn't get vaccinated. I was just doing the COVID test through my nose. And the Lord says to me, do you want to do what those disobedient that I sent my messenger to speak to did? Do you want to end up in hell? Like, no, Lord. The message was very clear. Okay? No swapping your nose. No testing for you. Okay? I warned them not to do these things. And they didn't listen to me. And that's why they have ended up in hell. And I can see my brother and many others there. Endless. But I was not allowed to see all of them, like, right there in person. It's like when you see a great multitude of people that you cannot identify. My brother and sister. And it was like, wow. But the Lord rebuked me and said, do you want to end up like those disobedient that I warned and sent my messenger to, and they didn't listen? Because you will end with them. I know, Lord, no, I don't want to end up in hell. No testing for me. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. I'm going to say this to you. Before they swap you to test you for COVID-19, you need to pray. People are asking me questions. I'm telling them, pray. You need to pray and ask the Lord. Please. Please understand where we are in the last days. My brother and sister. Okay? No, don't go to have them test you. Because it's like you're trusting on them. And they're trusting on those fallen gods. And you're trusting on them. So it's like you're joining them. My brother and sister. And as the Lord said, he sends his messenger to speak his warning. And those disobedient that end up in hell is because they didn't listen to his warning. You want to end up with them? I said, no, Lord. No. No. But he let me experience the process. There was when I put the swab through my nose, you know that we share this here in the Lord's Tower. I'll give you a reminder, but we share this. Remember when we showed that in that testing swab, there's nanoparticle, nanotechnology. In case there's a few doubters, okay, her sister sent me the information about it. and I can read it. I have the proof. It's not just my opinion. Because some people say, you know, hey, that's Brother Ovi's opinion. Got to be careful with his opinion, you know, because it's his opinion. Well, I got the proof. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord. I'm not such a great reader, so if some of you wants the link to follow the information, but inside from the nanotechnology and COVID-19 prevention, detection, therapy, and immunomodulation, and pronounce the word, the outbreak of SARS-CoV-2 infection that prevent the world from urgent demand of advanced diagnostic therapeutic to prevent, to treat, and control the spread of infection. Nanotechnology seems to be highly relevant in the emergency due to the unique physicochemical property of nanomaterial, which offer versatile chemical functionalization to create advanced biomedical tool. Here, nano and intervention are discussed. And it goes to exploring the fight against COVID-19, okay? So it tells you that, and as I keep reading, and as I keep giving the information, even through the testing, it tells you that there's nanotechnology in the process of the testing, just on the swab testing, okay? I have a link if some of you want it. I put some of the information there in the chat room for people to follow and read. My brother and sister, I have the link. I'm not making this up. This comes from official information. Praise the Lord. Okay, again. Okay. Now here is the swab testing, rapid COVID-19 test using nanoparticle technology to develop results in 10 minutes. Okay, and they show a nurse there testing the people through with the swab testing. My brother and sister, right to their card. Okay. So, and please don't point finger at anyone about this. I'm giving you the information, and I'm giving you what the Lord says. Take it in prayer with the Lord. It's serious. It is serious. Okay? It could be 90% of the people that have been tested, or almost 100. I'm just sharing to you what the Lord gave me yesterday morning. It is serious with the Lord. And to him, those that have done is disobedient. Now, my brother and sister, again, I'm not judging you. I'm not pointing finger to you. I'm giving you the information. I'm nobody to judge you. Remember that. I am nobody to judge you and point finger at you. Okay? No, God has not called me to do that. I'm giving you something the Lord's given me and the information. Believe me, when the Lord gave me this experience yesterday morning, I've been asking the Lord to give me the wisdom and understanding to speak to you. Because I don't want to offend anybody. Imagine me offending somebody. You know, no, that's not my purpose here, to offend you and in any way or mislead you. No. But to inform you. Again, my call got a little bit worse because I was on the rain. And every time you have a call and you go on the rain, it's been raining a lot. We didn't got no rain today, but yesterday or the days before, it's just been raining. I had to go out and I got wet. It doesn't help your call when it's raining. So again, it's like people say, if you don't take care of yourself, it's just not going to go away. So it's a simple call. Okay, and it was going away almost completely, and then boom, I went on the rain, and it doesn't help much. Okay, so praise the Lord. And again, so I say I'm not judging anyone, but I'm giving you the information. Okay, and again, I had the pages for you, the address, but here's the title of the information. It's all for testing. Okay, and the testing of COVID-19. There is nanotechnology in it, including in the blood test. Sister was surprised when she came across this information. Okay? And so, can you imagine that? It's, you know, and I know a lot of people because of work, they had to be tested. That's why I was praying to the Lord, you know, I'm keeping my sister, Sister Consuelo, all of you in my prayer. I'm keeping all of you in my prayer. And the Lord has said he is going to destroy the work of the devil. Remember that. He is going to destroy the work of the devil. Okay? So some of you may have that hedge of protection that Job had, where the devil cannot use that against you. Okay? Some of us that don't have to be tested don't have an excuse. You may have an excuse and the Lord is protecting you when you are being tested because of work. Then, you know, the Lord is protecting you. And you have that hedge. But what would you say now to someone that doesn't have the hedge that you have? I'll give you an example. What would you say to someone who doesn't have it and go taste the testing and then end up in hell? Think about it. Okay? So you have to warn the other people, even though you've been tested. But you can say, the Lord is protecting me. I'm dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. You're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. So you have to thank the Lord then. You see? It's different. But can you say to someone, oh, just go ahead and be tested. It's fine. You can't say that because you may lead a person to end up in hell. So you have to be careful yourself. Okay? You got to be thankful. God, thank you. You're protecting me. I have not ended up in hell. I'm being tested, Lord, but I have not ended up in hell. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. But then you cannot recommend it to someone else. Because if that person ends up in hell, the Lord may hold that against you. And here's the situation. So, you know, even when the Lord talks about the mark of the beast in Revelation 13, let him who read it understand. But what is to understand? Because, okay, it's a mark on the forehead and the right hand. What more does God wants me to do with the information? And a lot of people can say, I get it. I get it. But do you really get it? Okay? Because everything has to be checked with the Lord. You have to check everything through him. Okay? My brother and sister. So you cannot assume things unless you are not here from the Lord. Amen? He causes all, both men, great, rich, and poor, to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And then, thank you, Jesus, that no man may sell by the name of the beast, may sell and buy, but he that hath the mark of the name of the beast and number of the name, he is wisdom. He is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. In other words, you have to use wisdom here now. And that wisdom comes from God. And so the wisdom is that, okay, God is protecting you, which God can protect anybody on this. But a lot of people, it depends on the situation that God is putting them through. And God can protect someone there, but someone that don't need to take it, go and take it in disobedience, is different. Because he said, if I have this slot my nose, I will end up in hell. So what makes me different, an example, the Sister Consuelo, that had to be tested for her work. She's protected. And can I say to the Lord, Lord, she's protected. You're protecting her. Why can't you do the same with me? Is she better than me, Lord? And the Lord said, no, it's because you don't have to be swaffled. You don't have to be tested. You can choose to be tested. So you, I hold you responsible. You are different. But her, I'm protecting her because she has to do it. Okay? So he is wisdom. He is wisdom. How God is delivering us. And it with us, my brother and sister. One disciple is killed by the sword. Another is protected. So how come Stephen is stoned, but Peter and John, he sends an angel to protect them? Why couldn't he send an angel for Stephen? Young Stephen. Stephen was young. He was a teenager when he was stoned. And Peter and them were men's. This teenager had not lived his life yet. It was just, beginning. and God sent an angel to protect Peter and John, but they not sent an angel to protect Stephen. What do we say to that now? My brother and sister, it's because of his plan and what he's doing with each and one of us, and this is why we don't judge one another. You cannot say, oh, so-and-so has done it and God is protecting him. Okay, he is. But God is telling me not to do it because I don't have to. I don't have to go out there and work like other people, an example. I don't have to go to the doctor. I can depend on the Lord to heal me. I was thinking that if I get better medication for this cold, then I'll get better quickly because they do have natural better medication. But then the Lord, no. He doesn't want me to depend on them, but him only. Okay, Lord, pray. His name be. So see how we are whole, my brother and sister, responsible where we are. God will protect you from the swamp, but he'll tell you don't take the vaccine then. Now, that's a different thing now. It's a different thing. Swamp will not affect you. He's protecting you, but he doesn't want you to take the vaccine. But there's been people who have prayed for the children who's been vaccinated for the vaccine not to do no effect, and the Lord had said, like he said to her sister, I'm protecting your child. When her father took it to be vaccinated, the vaccine had no effect on her. I did not allow the enemy to take her soul to hell. Okay? She's a different now. She's protected. But all the children that are being vaccinated, their soul will be removed. You see the difference now? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, God. So let him read, understand. He is wisdom. Let him have understanding. Count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the men. Number of the men, 103.6. Now, it goes from a mark into you having wisdom to understand the numbers. You know that the numbers in Hebrew are 666, www. You do a lot of everybody thing in the nanotechnology. It has the www there, the 666 there. In the vaccine, in the nanotechnology. You know what one of the elites said the other day? There's a video online, one of the elites speaking, saying that the vaccinated, they can read the information with computers. Because everything that they needed to read their information is in the nanotechnology in the vaccine that they got injected with. And they can get all that information from them without asking. They are connected with the computer already, 24 hours. My brother and sister. And those that are vaccinated, they can easily read everything about their life, even including their thoughts. My brother and sister. That's what he said publicly. It's recorded. My brother was playing this on YouTube. I was like, wow, this is incredible. My brother, and this is what we've been saying on the Lord's Hour, too. Okay? So there's to the vaccinated, there's no secret. They cannot hold no secret from the government or them. Because the vaccinated are connected to their network, their computer, and the network can automatically, through the 5G, no matter where they are in the country, can detect them and pull out their information. And to make it so much true, there are apps. There are apps. Microsoft made one, and some other company. There's one that they sent me. I think it's a state. It's either a government or state one apps on my phone that will detect the vaccinated. This one will detect those that have COVID-19. But there are apps that if you've been vaccinated, it will automatically detect you. My brother insisted. If you have not been vaccinated, it will not detect your body information. But there's an app that if you've been vaccinated, if you've been vaccinated for COVID-19, it can pull out all your information in the app. My brothers, how can they do that? Because there are sensors on the phones that are connected with those devices that they put in the COVID-19 vaccine. And they can communicate with one another easily. So you see, so the number of the beast, the 666, the www, has been foreign for about for years, over 30 years, I believe. A lot of people say that the internet has been around since the 40s, 50s. So you imagine, since that time, they've been working on this, working to make it so easily accessible for them to pull out all the information. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The word for almond, shaketh in Hebrew, it is identical to the verb shaka, which means to be diligent, to strive, to steadfast. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I said, I see the rod of almond tree. The Lord says to me, you have seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Then the Lord says, verse 12, hallelujah. The Lord says to me, right, I am watching to make sure the word comes true. Hallelujah. And again, the Lord spoke his word to me and said, what do you see? And again, hallelujah, that what do you see is watch and pray in the New Testament. That's the Lord saying to his disciples and us, watch and pray. What do you see? You're watching. You're seeing something. You're seeing the event that God said that will come into pass, prophecy coming to pass. Okay, what do you see? Prophecy coming to pass. My brothers and sisters, isn't that incredible? We're seeing prophecy come to pass. Hallelujah. That's been spoken for thousands of years. Thank you, Lord. What do you see? And I see a boiling pot, and it's still away from the north. And this is when the north is the one that begins this opening. Then the Lord says to me, disaster will be put out from the north, and all those who live in the land. I'm going to call every family of the kingdom from the north, declares the Lord. I'm going to call every family of the kingdom from the north, declares the Lord. What did we say about the family that moved to the north of the Chaldeans? Okay? God said through Jeremiah 2,000 years prior, because this started happening less than 2,000 years ago when this family of the Chaldeans started moving to the place called Russia today. God said that he will be calling them from the north. God knew this would happen before it happened. He said it before it came to pass that this would happen. And it happened exactly. As I see the boiling pot, top till away from the north, the Lord says, disaster will put out from the north and all those who live in the land. I'm going to call every family from the kingdom of the north, declares the Lord. They will come. They will set up their thrones at the entrance of Jerusalem's gate. They will attack all the wall around the city and all the city of Judah. This happened during Jeremiah. And then God says that again, that this will be, he will use the same army in the last days, he says to Jeremiah, to use it against Babylon now. But not the Babylon of Iraq that was set up through King Nebuchadnezzar. No, the anti-Babylon nations like the United States who will be ruling and governing the world. My brother and sister, the most powerful. He said he will use the same family of the Chaldeans against them. I mean, you read the Bible and it's just so incredible because it's the same people he's talking about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then God said, when they went and attacked Israel and Judah, I will pass incense on my people because of all their wickedness. They have abandoned me, burned incense to other God, worship what their hands have made. Brace yourself, Jeremiah. Stand up and say to them whatever I tell you to say. Don't be terrified at their presence. And a lot of us are worried a lot of times because they're listening to us. They're recording our preaching, my brothers and sisters. And God says not to be terrified of them. In other words, just keep speaking. Keep speaking out. Keep speaking out. Keep speaking out. Okay? Today I have made you like a fortified city, God says to Jeremiah. I'm an iron pillar and bronze wall. You will be able to stand and to the whole land. You will be able to stand up to Judah the king. Notice. hallelujah, and official and priest and all the covering people, they will fight you. Here's the thing. They will fight you, God says to him. And we go through this. It's exactly what we go through. People will fight us. We give them the word. No, but wait a minute, Brother Elvin. They'll fight you. They'll fight you. Hallelujah. But they will not defeat you, God says. I am with you. I will rescue you, and declares the Lord. Lord, rescue me, please, already. Praise you, Lord. The Lord will have to rescue us. That means that the anger will burn, and they'll continue to come against us one way or another. My brother and sister, and they'll wait patiently to see if they can get us one day. They did it with Jeremiah. So of course, the Lord said, I will be with you, I will rescue you. Thank you, Lord. Well, so you see that this is the work of the devil, Isaiah 14 now. See how God, when he compares the nations and the wickedness and evil in Isaiah 14, God compares it to the devil. He says in Isaiah 14, 13 to 32, you thought to yourself, I will scale the heaven. And so the devil in his pride wanted to go beyond heaven. My brother and sister, beyond where God is sitting, that is really pride. I will raise my throne above God's star, he says. That's above the angels. The devil says he will put his throne above the angels. You know, one of the elite the other day said that Christianity is a delusion. The believing God is a delusion, he says. He tried to lead people away from Christianity, from the believing God. That is pride. And their pride misguided evil angels leading them. They can think that they can lead people away from Christianity. And that is impossible. Because a lot of us have been chosen since the creation of this earth. So that means nothing on this earth can stop us from becoming what God wants us to be. Nothing. Because we're not from this earth. That's one thing the Lord showed me. You're not from here, my son. And he showed me where I was from. I was with God before he created the earth, my brother and sister. And a lot of you were there with me. I saw you there, face to face with God, before God created this earth. Who you are today, who do you look today? It's only a shadow of who you really are. Because in God, you don't age. You're always 20, forever and ever. So how can today you be 30 and 40 and 50? It's only a shadow, really, of who you are. When you go to heaven, you will see who you really are in God. And you immediately will know that you were never supposed to waste your age because of the sin of this earth, because of the physical situation of this earth that is affecting you because you're here. But in God, you're not supposed to age. You're not supposed to die. You're not supposed to be sick, neither. You get sick because this is part of this life. But if we believe that the Lord will heal us, the sickness will have to go away also. You're going to find out that sickness was never part of your life. But in this life, you're allowed to be sick, experience sickness, and which will also humble us to God in many ways, keep us humble. God kept the apostle humble in one way that you don't want to be kept humble. So if God uses sickness to keep you humble, sometimes God uses other people to keep people humble, other abusive people. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. But he does. Hallelujah. So the devil in his pride said, I will raise my throne above the star. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly, far away north. I will rise past the top of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Look at his dream. You see the problem when I hear people on the international church, you got to dream high. You got to dream high. And they write book on how you're supposed to dream. And when you put it together, it sounds like the dream of the devil. They want to see, they want to dream so high beyond the throne of God. And they say, God has given it to you. You got to dream high. You got to be careful with those dream high. Because the devil was dreaming high. Above the throne of God, he was dreaming. My brothers and sisters, we need to humble ourselves. God is on high. We worship him. He's worthy to be worshipped. Thank you, Lord. And then God speak back to the devil and says, "Stay, you are brought down to Sheol. You're brought down to hell. To the outermost depth of the pit," God says. Okay? "Those who see you will stare at you, reflecting what you have become of you. And this man who shook the earth." A lot of people don't think the devil can shake the earth. Well, there it is, a verse. This is the man. This is the one that shook the earth. A lot of earthquake can be of the devil. Can you believe that? My Lord, my God. The more you read the Bible, the more you understand what is happening. When people say, "What is going on, Brother Ellie?" You got to read the Bible if you want to know what is going on. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, reflecting on what have become of you. This man shook the earth, who made the kingdom tremble, who made the world a desert. And this is, I would say, spiritually, the devil with his wickedness and sin can make the earth a desert, the world a desert. Imagine that. The earth can be blessed with everything, with peace, joy, and all that, and family all together and everything going on together. And the devil comes, and he Shalom, Sister Renee, Shalom, Sister Luna, and make everything a desert. Bring everything down. Crumble everything. Destroy everything. He came to kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10. My brother and sister. And God said he does this. He is able to do so. Amen. He's able to do so. Who destroy a city. Look who destroyed a city, God says. He brought a tornado over Job's house and destroyed most of it. Who destroyed the city. The devil can destroy city. Tornadoes, hurricanes, things like this. Jesus has given us the authority to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Okay? I remember when one little typhoon was coming to the Philippines. A first typhoon came and killed a lot of people and destroyed many homes. And I went in prayer with the Lord, and I was talking to the Lord about this. It was heartbroken into me. Heartbreaking into me. When I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, these typhoons that are coming to the Philippines." And the Lord says, "Because of my people's lack of faith," he says, "if you take authority over them, they will dissipate." The Lord said that. I was shocked. I needed a minute to pull myself together. I was in pieces when he said this to me. Because you don't hear this from the pulpit. You don't hear these things from the pulpit. I heard this from the mouth of Jesus. And so I was in pieces when he spoke these words to me. Because of the lack of faith of you, my people, if you pray together and rebuke these things, they will dissipate. What? I needed a few minutes to put myself together. And then I called brothers and sisters. There was another typhoon that they said it will be worse. And here in the Lord's house, we said, "Let's rebuke on the air this second typhoon." My brother and sister, the typhoon was forming out in the open sea, and it was heading to the Philippines. We pray and rebuke this typhoon. It became nothing. the weather and all the other people were, they couldn't explain, because it was forming much stronger than the first that destroyed so much of the Philippines. And it just, as it was coming so strong, we pray, it dissipated. If we would have done the same with the second one, the first one, I'm sorry, it would have never destroyed one single home, one single life. My brother insisted. But good thing I was talking to Jesus about this. And when he told me this, because of the lack of faith on my children, my people, if you will pray together and rebuke this, it will be no more. Oh, my Lord. What a powerful word that was. That was really powerful. I really needed to hear that. My brother and sister, we see hurricane coming. Instead of coming together to rebuke it, to break it down to nothing, we just like, we tell people, hey, hurricane is coming. Tornadoes are forming, and they're destroying houses, land, killing people. But we don't join together to rebuke these things. The lack of faith of my people, he says. My brother and sister, when we come to heaven and we meet Jesus, as I saw him a few months about this, those that have come to heaven, like many of us who have not rebuked these things, he was telling them all the power of his word. He says, my word is alive. My word is powerful. He says, so it will do what it was sent to do, what God sent it to do. So if we claim it over these things, that be them destroyed, they will be destroyed. But they will be no more. But our lack, what the Lord sees is a lack of prayer. My brother and sister, I pray overnight with him, and I repent on my lack of prayer. You know, we make excuses, my brother and sister, for not be spending hours with him in prayer. My brother and sister, if we can only understand the power of prayer with him, we would spend more time with him in prayer. More, a lot more. My brother and sister, it's just so needed, and so much happens. And then asking him to increase our faith every day, repent, pray down, and unbelief. My Lord, my God. Now listen to this. Why did Jesus twice did the miracle of the five fish, two fish into 3 pieces of bread? Why did he multiply all this for the people? To show the disciple and you and I how to do when we need food. My brother and sister, if we have faith, as we should, we will put an empty pot on our stove, put our hand over every day. And if you want to eat lobster, salmon, whatever you love it, you lay your hand on it and you pray, and it's there instantly, cooked for you. You can even do it on the table. I shared the testimony of the brother. I was talking about this years ago, and he had a lack of food at home. He put a plate on the table and prayed, went, lay down on his knees on his sofa. And before he got up from prayer, after 15 minutes in prayer, there was a load of bread with all the doors locked on his table, put there by the Lord, my brother and sister. And every day he will pray the same. The load of bread was there, how he loved it, how he liked it. He contacted to tell me this, my brother and sister. We're gonna have to apologize to Jesus in heaven. We're gonna have to, when we come to Jesus and see him and talk about all the things we did for God and the thing he said that we would do in his name, greater things. Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't pray for 5,000 people to eat that day, Lord. I didn't pray this for this every day to happen, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, I am so sorry. You taught us how to do it, Lord, but we didn't do it. Our lack of faith, Lord, was really great, Lord. I'm so sorry, Jesus. Please forgive us, Lord. You are the example. You are the, let the disciple be like the master. We were not like you, Lord, because you did this. You walk over the water. You told the, You speak to the wind, and the wind obey you, and you said greater things we will do. But we didn't, Lord. We didn't speak to the wind, Lord. We didn't, you know. I was so glad when we rebuked the typhoon and became nothing, because I was like, wow, this is one thing I can say. We did it in the name of the Lord, and it was done. The Lord did it. But we took the step of faith, and the Lord did it. My brother and sister, there's things you can talk about in heaven and say, hey, there was a typhoon coming to the Philippines that was going to kill thousands of people, and we prayed, and there was this. The Lord did it. And people say, whoa, that is incredible, awesome. See, those are examples of things that the Lord can do. My brother and sister, but greater things than what he did. So that means you and I and anyone here can feed 5,000 people and more. If you have faith, you'll pray for the food, and it's there cooked and ready. Bread and fish. And not just the bread and fish. Steak, chicken, turkey. I mean, name it. Okay? Codfish, salmon, striper, whatever you like to eat. Okay? If you have the faith, you put an empty plate on your table, you pray over it, and it's there. My brothers and sisters. Okay? It's done. Jesus did it. When those people were hungry, and Jesus asked, what did they have? And they said they have. Before he said this, he said, feed them. The teaching is that you and I are supposed to do it by faith. My brother and sister. And because the Lord was there, and they did not do it because they didn't have the faith, the Lord went and did it. My brother and sister. But the Lord now is at the right hand of the Father sitting, waiting for you and I to do it, to have the faith. But if most of the people pray, they don't even ask the Lord for faith, to increase their faith. The lack of faith to ask for faith is incredible. It's contagious. No, my brother and sister. We need to ask the Lord for the things that we are supposed to do by faith. My brother and sister, the example of Hebrews 11 to us, my brother and sister, is that these men and women, hallelujah, they're part of the situation that they were going through. It did not stop them from believing God. Because some people might say, Brother Evie, if you knew my situation, you will not say, you will not speak the way you're speaking, Brother Evie. No, you will not. You will not speak the way you speak because you don't know my, you're not in my shoes. You're not in my situation, Brother Evie. So this is why you're speaking the way you're speaking. Well, I'll give you the testimony here. Well, 50 people. They went through the worst that you and I gone through, and they trusted God, and God did what he said he would do. Hebrews 11. From the complete Jewish Bible, trusting and being confident of what we hope for, convinced that the things that we do not see, it was from the scripture attests the merits of the people of old. In other words, they believed God regardless of their situation. Regardless of being chased to be killed, regardless of being hungry and that there was no food in the land, they believed God will provide, and supernaturally God did through their faith. Remember, your faith has saved you, my daughter. When that woman came and touched him, your faith has saved you. By trusting, we understand that the universe was created through the spoken word of God, that what is seeing did not come from thing being out of the existing phenomenon. By trusting, Abel offered a greater sacrifice than Cain. Because of this, he attested of righteous, which God given his testimony on the ground of his gifts. Through having trusted, he still continues to speak even through his death. Abel, before he was killed, he offered God a sacrifice where God was pleased with him. In other words, he was walking in obedience. He was seeking to please God. And so by him seeking God and submitting his life to God every day, he knew now by the leading of the Lord what to offer. And he came to God and offered him a sacrifice pleasing unto God. Because you will not know what is in the heart of God unless your heart and his heart are one. One. How did Jesus down here knew what was the will of God? He knew what was the will of God because he was oneness with God. His heart was with God and his mind was with Father. My brother and sister. Until the point that he told his disciples that God and him were one. That oneness, that unity is what God wants with you and I. Because when you're walking with God, the heart, what is in the heart of God is in you. What is in you is in the heart of God. When you speak, when you think, he's leading you. He's putting the word in you. My brother and sister, Abel walked to this degree with God. By trusting, Enoch was taken away from this life without seeing death. He was not to be found because God took him away, where he has been attested of having been, prior to being taken away, well-pleasing to God. And without trusting, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, because whatsoever approaches him must trust that he does exist and that he becomes a rewarder to those who seek him out. My brother and sister, the more you seek him, the more God will reveal himself to you. The more he will reward you. And the reward is not necessarily just physical. Because a lot of people are being taught in churches, international churches, Christian churches, that the rewards are physical. Not so spiritual. Reward as a greater reward, the highest reward, are spiritual with him. Our higher reward are in the spirit. My brother and sister, not physical, not just physical. Yes, physical thing comes to pass because by his word everything was created. But the spiritual gifts, hallelujah, they last forever. They can neither be taken away. They last forever, my brother and sister. And God wants you to have the eternal things that you can enjoy forever, my brother and sister. Think about that. Verse 7, by trusting Noah, after receiving divine warning about the things as yet unseen, was filled with holy fear, built an ark to save his household. Through this trusting, he put the word under the condemnation and receiving righteousness and come by trusting. Hallelujah. So Noah believed was that if they did not believe in God, they will be condemned. Well, that's why John 3:17, 3:18 says that whosoever won't believe in him is already condemned. Well, that was a message to Noah. The message of Noah to those millions of people at his time, that if they did not believe in God and his message, they will be condemned. Were they condemned when God got Noah and his family in the ark out of there? Of course they did. Okay? Of course they did. My brother and sister, when people get mad at other people, they say, you can go to hell. Well, when those people did not listen to God and his word, they ended up in hell, my brother and sister. Because they did not receive the word. Verse 8, by trusting Abraham obeyed after being called to go out to a place which God would give him a possession. Indeed, he went out without knowing where he was going. And this is exactly how you walk by faith. Brother, how do you walk by faith? Well, you walk by faith where God leads you where you don't know where you're going. I don't get it, brother. Explain that again. God is leading me where I don't know where am I going by faith? Yes. Well, I need to know where I'm going, people say. And people say that. That made no sense, brother. That really made no sense. How can you say that? I wouldn't know where I'm going.
I need to know where I'm going, people say. If God doesn't want to tell you where you're going yet, you have to trust him and wait on him. Trust him and wait on him. Because Abraham finds himself in the same situation. He was being led by God, but he had no idea what God was leading him to. My brother and sister, Buck, if he was walking by faith, by trusting, he lived in a temporary residence in the land of the promise where it was not his, staying in tent, where Isaac, Jacob, who were to receive what was promised along with him, for he was looking toward to the city with permanent foundation, of which the architect and builder is God. Abraham was walking with God, looking for the city that is in heaven, the New Jerusalem, that God himself has built. Explain that now. Go ahead and explain that. Imagine Abraham telling that to his family. Abraham, where are you going? Oh, I'm looking for a city that God has built, where he has promised he will give to us. Abraham, what are you talking? What is in your head, young man? What do you mean you're looking for a city that God has built? That doesn't make any sense. He is a God. Go worship his father. No, my brother and sister. God's promises to us is for us to look for every day. It don't matter if it doesn't sound logical. That's why I told you that your college, your high school understanding, study is hindering people. Because they're looking for the logical. They're looking for the things they can grasp and understand. And that's not the way it is when you are being led. When you are being led is, let's go. Where we're going, let's go. Trust me. Trust me, he says. Let's go. Walk with me. The Lord says. When he went to Peter, Peter was in his boat, getting it ready, go out to the sea, do some fishing and all that. And the Lord comes and said, Peter, come and I will make you a fisher of men. Where are we going, Lord? Follow me. He told him what they will be doing, but he didn't tell them where, how, where we're going to sleep. Were we renting hotels on the way? Are we getting in a carriage so this long way, at least our feet won't hurt so much? Are we getting new shoes because, look, we got broken shoes. We don't make much. These sandals, oh, man, that's terrible. Can you get us really good boots so we can walk, Lord? I mean, it was really just follow me. And they were walking around all day long from one city to another preaching the gospel. And nowhere planned where they were going to stay for the night. Lord, where do you stay? He compared himself to the wild animal who had a place to stay and laid their head, but he had none, he said. So that was not his concern. The things you are not concerned with is not the Lord's concern. But he understands, though. He does understand the things we need, though. He does. My brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. God help us. Verse 11, by trusting, he received potency to father a child. What? You receive potency by taking medication, by taking vitamin C, your vitamin D, your vitamin B, your vitamin A. That's how you receive potency in your body. It boosts your body to have all that, you know, be ready to be a father and have a child. I'm sorry, but Abraham did not have a farmer key next to him where he can go ahead and order his medication and have it even delivered to him. Or have one of his workers go to the drive-thru and pick it up, and then he will have potency in his body to have a child. And he didn't have a prescription for his doctor to be able to receive that medication and be ready to have a child with his wife. And she would need a lot of medication also because she was very old. And in our common medical study, when a woman is so old, it's highly recommended by our doctor that she will not plan to have a child. Okay? And they believe she will not even become pregnant by this time, neither, because of the physical change in the woman's body. Okay? That her body will not be ready to have a child. So medically speaking, She's not able to have a child. So for her to look to take medication to have a child is impossible. But here, see, the medication that God is giving Sarah and Abraham is not from this earth. Not from this earth. And how the medication that God gave Adam and his wife, Abraham and his wife, to have a child was given through them by the word of the promise. Sarah is going to have a child next year by this time. And that word came, the potency, the medication that Abraham needed and that Sarah needed to make their body strong, full of energy, and healthy enough for her to be able to bear a child and for him to be able to procreate, because that medication could cost today thousands of dollars, as some people have found out already, who in old age have tried to have a child. The medication is very expensive. But in the word of the promise of God to Abraham and Sarah was the potency of all the medication they needed for their body to function like a young woman and Abraham to function like a young man and will be able to have a child by the power of the word of God. Jesus said in heaven, my word is alive. Thank you, Jesus. Everything they needed was in the word of the promise. Everything you and I need is in the word of this promise of him. That's why you cannot miss a teaching of the living word of God that comes with the potency inside for your body of the promise of God, of what God can do in you and I in the coming days, where he can take you and I and change us and transform us and give us during the 3 days of darkness a glorified body, young body, full of power of God to go out and evangelize and assure revival and bring sword to the kingdom like we've never seen before. My brother and sister, very soon you'll hear the Lord call your name. Very soon Jesus will call your name. Be ready. Be in repenting. Be in repenting, my brother and sister. Be in repenting. Every day, we struggle. We struggle every day. My brother, he called sinners to repent. He didn't call righteous. He called sinners to repent, Jesus said. Hallelujah. We are the one that need him. But when we obey and do what he's asking us, the word of the potency of everything you and I need and the promise of that word comes everything our body, our life, our soul, body, soul, and spirit need to keep us moving forward to receive the promise. I say, Abraham and Sarah, my brother and sister. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. So by trusting, hallelujah, and that is here, it's a fly killer in the back. It's killing any fly, anything dead. Praise the Lord. By trusting him, we see the potency to father a child, even when he was part of age for it, past age, I'm sorry, for it, and Sarah herself, because he regarded the one who made the promise as trustworthy. And this is how God wants you to see his promise. Is the one who's making the promise to you and I trustworthy? And each and one of us personally need to receive this and confess this and say, is the one making you and I the promise, as he did to Sarah and Abraham and Sarah, his wife, in old age, is he the one trustworthy? Faithful him who sat upon the throne. Is he trustworthy? Can you trust him with your life? Can you trust the Lord every day with your life? You have to make that decision on your own. I cannot make it for you. I made the decision for myself. Yes, Lord. I trust you, Lord, with my life. But can you do that? Can you make that decision on your own without anyone telling you? If you're willing to keep your life for Jesus, if you can trust him completely, my brother and sister, because you need to make that decision, and you need to make it right away, my brother and sister. Because when you do, you don't look to the side of the left. You don't look back. You move forward with Jesus. And you say, yes, Lord, you're trustworthy. I want to serve you. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want your will to be done in my life as it is in heaven, Lord. Your word says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, in my life as it is in heaven. Lord, let thy promise come to pass in my life, Jesus. You have to make that decision for yourself because I have to. Years ago, I was going through test and trial where I have to choose whether I was going to leave church or leave everything and forget about it. I have to make the decision. And the Lord helped me because he's our helper. So make that decision. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank the Lord. I'm going to thank him in heaven when I see him more and more. But I thank him because he helped me. Without him, there's nothing I can do. Oh, my brothers and sisters, did I struggle? Did I struggle? Did it hurt? Did I cry? I cried like a baby. It hurt. Because I had to reject everything I wanted. The career, the job, the making a lot of money. I had to reject that. Taking another way to go do that and say no. For me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And whether I have or have none, let his will be done. I had to make that decision many times. And I was tested through it. Because once you make it, you'll be tested. But once you make it with all your heart, you'll move forward. You'll keep going. You don't look back. No matter what's going on, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. It's important that we make our decision for the Lord and we stay with the decision we were made. We don't look back. Lord, thy will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. We keep moving forward. There are a lot of people doubting, questioning if this is the right thing to do or this is the right program to listen to. They're questioning their decision. They're questioning the decision they're making in their life. I've seen people around me, not that the market's falling and they're selling the houses, packing and leaving. They came here with a dream, them and their family. Some a few months ago, some a few years ago. And now they're selling their homes and they're moving away. My brother and sister, they're just moving things away, leaving. It was God who supplied them their need. According to the riches and glory, I was speaking with a minister today. I went to see a minister earlier here next to me, selling his home. I got a fish tank from him, my brother and sister. And I didn't meet him by coincidence. He was praying that someone would come and get the fish tank. And I needed a fish tank. I wanted to get one for my children. And I was telling my wife when I called back, guy is a minister. And I told him, I'm a minister too. And he invited me in. And we were talking. Praise the Lord. So many people just taking off. God sent them up here. God sent them up here. Go up to the mountain. I'll be with you. Like he told Abraham, go up to the mountain. And when they see the market falling, when they see the stuff going on, hey, I'm out of here. I'm selling my house. Goodbye. It's worse anywhere you go now. They see the market falling. A lot of people invested in Bitcoin. Heard a guy invested in Bitcoin at $30,000 when it was. Millions. Now it's below $30,000. You know how much money he's losing? Shalom, sister. Hallelujah. Okay. It's terrible. Our trust is in the Lord. My brother and sister, whether you have or have none, don't worry about it. Trust the Lord. He'll take care of you. Us. You're supplied. Father told me this. I'm going to supply. He showed me a couple of years ago when the economy was falling, or 3 years ago, Father spoke this to me. He said, I will supply to my children. He had confirmed this to me 2 or 3 times now. He's going to supply to us, our Father, Jehovah, Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of heaven and earth, and everything in all creation he created. He told me he'll take care of us. The Lord is the same. your provider need, my brother and sister. Yes, sometimes that we say, what about this? Or, you know, there's so much stuff falling now. Companies, people, moving out, getting out. They will run to and fro and science will increase. Knowledge will increase, the Bible says. That's what they're doing. They're running. My brother and sister, but I will guarantee you, or the word of God will guarantee us, that if we trust in the Lord promise, the guarantee is he will take care of us. He will supply our need. 1,000 will fall by your side, 10,000 by the other side, but they will not come nigh thee. He'll protect you. He will protect you. He will provide you. My brother and sister, he will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. God is faithful. David never saw the righteous forsaken and their sin either, he says in Psalms. Never saw the righteous forsaken. Imagine he reigned in Israel for 40 years. When he died, he was over 80. In those 80 years, he never saw the righteous forsaken. Anyone who trusts in the Lord, who was seeking God, he never saw them or their seed, their children, the sons and daughters, the wife forsaken. They always have to eat. They always have clothing. They always had a roof upon them. And everyone since Abraham, David, Moses, Elijah, David, all of them can testify to you the same. They never saw the righteous forsaken. Anyone who trusts in God will not be put to shame, David said. You trust in the Lord, you will not be put to shame. Because, see, you are little you, and he is big, like bigger than everything. You trust in him, there's nowhere you can go where he will not take care of you. There's nowhere he will lead you, he will not take care of you. Because he owns heaven and earth are mine, says the Lord. My brother and sister. So how can you be forsaken? If the heaven and the earth he created, which are his, how can you, my brother and sister, be forsaken? There's no way. There's no way you can go to bed without any food, without, hallelujah, what you need. Jesus compared his generations that if he feed the bird of the air, will he not feed you? You ye a little faith. So in other words, when you think this way, it's your little faith speaking. When you think that you're going to go hungry or that you're going to lose everything and you're going to end up without nothing, that is your little faith thinking and speaking. Paul said, has ye the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. God will supply our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's the mind of Christ. Has ye the mind of Christ? My brother and sister. So there's no way that you can trust the Lord and be put to shame. It's impossible. It is impossible. My brother and sister, one of the things is that you're going to see him face to face one day. What's going to happen if you see him one day and you have one complaint to bring before him? Because one day you're going to come before him and see him face to face. He's not going to let you down for you to come before his throne. And instead of you coming to worship him, no, he said, no, wait a minute. I didn't come here to worship. I came here to complain. I have a complaint. I had this need on the earth, and I was praying for years, and it never came to pass. Okay? You're going to silence heaven. God and all the angels and all creation will listen to you because you have a complaint. You got something to say. You're not coming to worship. You're coming to make a complaint. And so, thank you, Jesus. I remember when I had a complaint, I came to the throne of Jesus. My father was there. My grandmother was there. My older daughter, Emerald, was there. Beautiful daughter, however. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord was quiet. He is a King of kings and Lord of lords. When he speaks, everything trembles. He can destroy everything with his presence and defeat the enemy and everything. But I had something to say, and he was quiet. My brother, and he didn't speak until I had to say what I had to say. And then when he spoke and explained it to me, oh, man, I was so sorry. There's no way you and I can have a complaint. There's no way. There is no way possible. We may have a lack of understanding of what we're going through. And when God answers something, Shalom Sister Rivera, in his timing, not in ours, it's because he's perfect in everything. He's even perfect in time. When he answers you, he is perfect. When he doesn't answer you, he's still perfect. And when he doesn't answer you, it's because you don't need to him to answer you. It's not good for you. It's when it's good for you. And when he knows it will be best for you to receive it. He'll give you what you need right when you need it. My brother and sister, not before. And when you need it, you can enjoy it also. My brother and sister, he given you what you and I needed before he created us. He gave you and I two eyes, a mouth to eat, not to eat too much. You can see twice, but don't eat too much. You can breathe much, nose with two holes. You can breathe much, okay, but speak little. You can walk, you can run, but not too fast because you can hurt yourself, two legs. Okay, two arms to grab. You can grab enough what he's giving you, but not too much because you're sin. My brother and sister. So everything he made it perfect when he made it because he made it where if we follow his leading and his instruction, we will stay in unbounded and the limitation he's given us. But when you try to go beyond the limitation God has given you, you sin. If you speak more than what you should, you sin, the Bible says. In the many words, Proverbs says, there's sin. I have to be careful speaking here. Because if I speak too much, I'll sin. I cannot add to his word, and I cannot take away neither. I cannot say I don't know about this when he already given me the knowledge to speak about it or the revelation because I'll sin if I lie. But I cannot add to what he's given me because it's not up to me to give out more. It's up to him. You see, we have to stay in our boundary, my brother and sister. Even when we think we can do much and we want to do much, we have to be careful because God has given you a limitation even for our own good. When he created everything, he inspected, he saw that it was good in Genesis. Everything he has given you and I and put us, you and I in our life, don't go beyond what God has given you or your sin. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I heard a testimony last night of this man who cheated on his wife. They were having problems. He learned through the headaches and trouble he went through, he says, that the wife God has given him at the beginning was the right woman for him. Even though being with this other woman and having two child with this other second woman, he find out that she was not for him, that the one that was for him was the one that God given him at the beginning. And now for the heart of his wife to be healed was very difficult for him. He will go to church with her, and she, my brother and sister, will not let him even focus on God, because she will remind him, "You're hiding your unfaithfulness in your religion." She will say to him, because she was not committed to the Lord. He pray, and God save his wife. But her heart was still not healed. And then he prayed for God to heal her heart. It was a process. And the day God healed her heart from his unfaithfulness, my brother and sister, it became so beautiful because she said, "You got to bring those two child from that other woman where you are the sons and daughters so they can grow up together." Benito. And he says that his first wife now loved those children as they if they were her own. And he says she was the right woman for me since the beginning. But in all the problem we were having, I cheated on her. And all this process, now I learn how precious my wife is to me, he says. All these years have passed, over 30 years. It is now I know and understand how precious my wife is, which I did not understand in the beginning. He says, everything he does it perfect. We are the one that sometimes want more and more. Trusting him, trusting God, is you and I depending on him and what he gives us. My brother and sister, and when he gives you too much, as people say, it's for you to share with others. Even the little you have, if you share with others, he'll give you more. He'll give you more. If you share what you have, you always have. If you support his work, if you support the poor, you will always have. That's the law of his words. Give, and it will be given unto you. My brother and sister, not receive, but give. Giving, the Bible says, better than receiving. The problem with people who always like to receive is that they never learn.